Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Ever heard of Mars One? It's a Dutch nonprofit project that hopes to colonize the planet Mars. It sought volunteers, found more than 200,000 of them, including responses from St. Louis. More on that a little bit later. But first, the Department of Justice is weighing in on Ferguson. It has just released the results of an investigation into Ferguson Police Department practices. The report blisters the city, showing a pattern of constitutional violations. It confirms many of the social justice complaints from protesters in the wake of Michael Brown's death in August, including racially disproportionate traffic stops, arrests, and court fines. With me to talk about the Justice Department's investigation, Patricia Bynes, Democratic Committee Woman for Ferguson Township. Bill Freivogel is an attorney and professor of journalism at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. Jim Howard, St. Louis Public Radio's Washington correspondent, joins us by phone. I should mention that the Ferguson officials have been silent about the report, but are expected to respond now that the report has been formally released. Now on to our discussion. Jim Howard, I'm going to start with you. Report is just out, not much time to digest contents, but what do you see, and is anything different from what we've been hearing for the last 12 to 24 hours?
Well, we should say that two reports actually came out at the same time. The Justice Department also in this announcement, in announcing its findings concerning the city of Ferguson and practices with the Ferguson Police Department, also announced today that they were not, its independent investigation of Officer Darren Wilson is not going to return any charges. They said that there was no evidence that can disprove Officer Wilson's stated belief that he feared for his life. I don't think that decision will come as any kind of a surprise to people who have been following this from the very beginning. Attorney General Holder said that federal civil rights charges in this kind of a case would have had a very high bar to satisfy. And within the last couple of weeks, he did an interview with Politico and talked about how he'd like to see that bar lowered for these kind of cases. So we've just dispensed with report number one briefly, if we can. Moving on to the city of Ferguson, the Justice Department is making has two sets of recommendations, 26 recommendations in total. But the big part here is that they're finding that the Ferguson Police Department and the municipal courts engaged in constitutional violations of the First Amendment, your free speech rights, the Fourth Amendment, the right against unreasonable search and seizure, and the 14th Amendment offering Americans equal protection. Actually, that amendment, as some people who watch Civil War history and the movie Lincoln will know, that it was an amendment that came in part because of issues concerning slaves after the Civil War. But those are the three constitutional amendments that are violated according to the Department of Justice when it looks at the practices in the Ferguson Police Department. They have several bullet points here. For the department itself, it says that the department, the statistics that we've seen come out of this talk about how 85% of all traffic stops in Ferguson and 90% of the citations go to African-American individuals in the community, even though the population is only 67% black. 93% of the arrests in Ferguson account are for African-Americans. But under the bullet points here, they talk about Ferguson police conducting traffic stops without reasonable suspicion and arrest. There's your Fourth Amendment issue. Probable cause in violation of the Fourth Amendment, interfering with the right to free expression in violation of the First Amendment, and using unreasonable force in violation of the Fourth Amendment. Under the municipal courts, the first bullet says focusing that the courts focused on revenue over public safety, leading to court practices that violate the 14th Amendment's due process and equal protection requirements. The idea of looking at the revenue from the traffic tickets and the fines in the courts is their first bullet point here. The second bullet point for the courts talks about how the court practices exacerbate the harm of Ferguson's unconstitutional police practices and impose particular hardship upon Ferguson's most vulnerable residents, especially upon those living in or near poverty. It also goes on to find a couple of bullets on both the police department and the municipal court. The first one says that the harms of Ferguson's police and court practices are borne disproportionately by African Americans, and that this disproportionate impact is avoidable. As we've talked about some of the stats, the population versus the number of tickets versus the number of arrests that take place in Ferguson. As I said, this is a more than 100-page report, so in the several minutes that we've had it, I have not committed to memory, haven't even read the whole thing, but it does have 26 recommendations. There is still a question as to what happens next with Ferguson officials, as to whether they go along with this, they challenge this, or what happens. We don't know that part yet.
Well, they're going to have a news conference, as I understand it, later today, I suspect, in which they will react to this. But thank you for that summary, Jim. Stay with us. I want to turn now to Patricia. You were sitting here and just nodding your head, shaking your head, I should say, as you were listening to those bullet points. This is something that has been said, many people have said, and I believe you too, that not only is this no surprise, but it's worse than you even expected.
Absolutely. Actually, on my way here to the station here, I passed and I saw someone who was being pulled over by the Ferguson Police Department. And, you know, I was just hoping in the back of my mind that it was a justified, they pulled him over for the right reasons and that the person was being treated, you know, at least humanely, and they weren't having their rights violated. And when you really see the bullet points, and I have not had a time to digest all of this.
It's just out.
Correct. Mm-hmm. This is what people have been saying their experiences are. And for this to have been going on for so long, we all need to take a look at ourselves and say, how could this be going on where this was the status quo? And when we live in this region, we know that Ferguson is not the only offender that treats people like this. There are probably some that are far worse than Ferguson.
This validates what all the fuss was about following the Michael
Correct.
Brown shooting.
Yeah. Correct. All the go home, you don't need to protest. That's not right.
Right. I will pick up on some of these points. Bill Fravo, let me turn to you. I read your piece in today's STLpublicradio.org website. And this notion that this is not just a Ferguson problem was very pronounced in what you've written.
Right. Well, some folks like Thomas Harvey, for example, Art City Defenders, the group that has put a lot of sunshine on the municipal practices in Ferguson and other North County municipalities, expressed his concern that if the Justice Department is just dealing with Ferguson, that there are lots of other municipal courts and police departments nearby that are at least as bad and quite possibly worse. I was talking to Roger Goldman, who's, you know, he's at St. Louis University Law School, and some of the law professors down there have spent quite a bit of time on this, and they say that there are quite a few, a dozen police departments in that North County area that are much worse than Ferguson. Tim Fitch, the former St. Louis County police chief, said much the same thing when I talked to him. So the concern is if the Justice Department is limiting its action to Ferguson, what about all the rest of those municipalities? Now, I also talked to some folks who are sort of experts on this pattern and practice kind of lawsuit who say, well, if there's a – maybe the other municipalities will see it's going to cost Ferguson a lot of money to try to comply – to fix its police practices to become constitutional. And so if it's going to cost Ferguson a lot of money, maybe we better fix our practices too so that we don't end up on the wrong side of one of these cases.
Also point out that it could bankrupt communities like Ferguson.
Well, that's what Tim Fitch says. Tim Fitch, the former county police chief, thinks it could well bankrupt them. East New Haven, Connecticut Police Department had to spend about $3 million trying to comply with a pattern or practice case. It's a similar size municipality. Ferguson is about the smallest municipality it's ever been needing to comply with one of these Justice Department mandates. So $3 million could cost a lot of money. Fitch also says one of the negative impacts he's found in some places that he has studied where there have been these pattern or practice suits is that there's an uptick on crime. The reason there's an uptick on crime, he says, is because police stop doing some of the policing that they don't really have to do, and it's that kind of discretionary policing that stops crimes from happening.
Patricia, what is your take on that part of it? I mean, what could follow all of this now? I mean, there are certain consequences, obviously. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm not quite sure what they're going to want to do in Ferguson. Will they want to sue? Will they want to settle and go by the way of using the federal monitor? Do they want to just disband the police department? I'm not quite sure what they want to do. There are many people in the community who feel that if they disband the police department, and most likely St. Louis County would be brought in, many people feel that that might not be too much better as far as the relationship part goes. And I think that at least in St. Louis County, we have a civilian review board, but they meet on Wednesday in the middle of the afternoon. You know, it would have to be a lot more open and friendly for the citizenry to really engage it.
Yeah. For one thing, Fitch said in connection with that very possibility that they would just disband and say, county, won't you take us over or Florissant? That so would the Justice Department mandates go with the assumption of control over the program? And if so, would St. Louis County or Florissant want to take over those mandates, which could then be an expense for them?
Let me ask you to put on your attorney's hat right now with regard to what is called and been noted as a consent decree, which would be a negotiation, as I gather, between the Justice Department and Ferguson to come to some accommodation on these rules. Can you just elaborate on what that is and where that could go?
So a consent decree is a court enforceable agreement between the parties. So what will happen now that the Justice Department report has been issued is there will be continued negotiations between the Justice Department and the city. If they can come to an agreement, if they can come to a consent decree, then that will be filed with the court. It'll be court supervised, a court an outside monitor and a team of will be appointed. That's where the sort of expense of the compliance comes in. Now, if they can't agree, then the Justice Department will file a lawsuit. And then the judge can just order would try the lawsuit, and if the judge finds that there are these civil rights violations, could impose everything, all the 26 things that the Justice Department is requesting.
I have here in front of me, this might be from your piece actually, the cities agree to a consent decree rather than fight it in court. The typical decree would call for changes in deadly force policies, early warning procedures to identify officers with frequent complaints, civilian review boards, Patricia, you've alluded to that, and that's been much discussed, increased mental health services to help officers confronted by mentally ill people, prompt disclosure to community leaders of both police shooting of a civilian, video cameras and squad cars of officers, court monitors to ensure follow-up. That's the kind of thing that typically would be involved.
That's the kind of thing that's typical. Now, one way in which this case, Ferguson, differs from a lot of the others, as a matter of fact, probably differs from all the others, is this bringing in of the municipal court system. They're breaking new ground in doing this. I've talked to some experts who say this is the first case they know of where that's happened. So there are about half of the Justice Department's 25 or 26 recommendations for steps to take involve the municipal court system. Mm-hmm. And so that is a big difference that will require mm-hmm. other things than those you just listed.
That has certainly gotten the lion's share of all the attention, needless to say. I have to take a break. We'll do that and come back and continue our conversation. Jim, I'll be coming back to you as well. Thank you for staying with us. We are talking about the Justice Department report just released on Ferguson and police practices in Ferguson. With me in studio is Patricia Bynes, who is a Democratic committee woman for Ferguson Township, Bill Freivogel, attorney, journalist with me in studio, and Jim Howard joins us from Washington. He's our guy in Washington. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Patricia Bynes, Bill Freivogel, and Jim Howard. Jim, let me go to you. I know the report has just been released, but the contents were fairly well known since yesterday afternoon. Have you had a chance to talk to any of our representatives in Washington about that?
Well, starting very early, I made a whole bunch of phone calls and ran into a reasonably cautious response from just about everyone that they really wanted to wait until they actually saw what the Department of Justice released. Most of the individuals that made contact are members of the Congressional Caucus. We've had close contacts with the CBC, not just our two members, Representative Clay and Representative Cleaver, but with a number of other members in the CBC since all of this took place in Ferguson. They had a meeting today at about noontime here in Washington. I do not know what was discussed. I do know from some of the press secretaries of the various representatives that they had promised to send us comments after Justice Farmer released this thing. But we did catch up with Representative Emanuel Cleaver across the street in a building next to the Supreme Court, because the court is taking on the question of the Affordable Care Act this morning, and Representative Cleaver was being interviewed over there. So I was able to catch up with him and posed a couple of questions to him. One of the first things I asked him was what he would like to see out of this. And he said, clearly, nothing in this report, once it comes out, is going to shock people in Ferguson. They've been living with this. They've been aware of it, and they've been talking about this for some time. But he said, at the very least, he believes the police chief should go. And he likened this to a corporation. He said, if there were a corporation out there that had some problem where the CEO brought some embarrassment or some situation came to the company where the source of its revenue was tainted, his reference, talking to the source of revenue from all these police tickets generated in Ferguson, he said he thought the CEO would be gone by lunchtime. So he said that's one thing that he believes should happen. Then we moved on, and I said, you know, we don't know yet that Ferguson will go along with this. We know up in Cleveland, the mayor as recently as 2 weeks ago was talking about taking a very hard position and not rolling over to the negotiating process for their consent decree. And Representative Cleaver had his thoughts that if Ferguson were to balk at this and not go along with the consent decree, that the federal government should cut off funds to the Ferguson Police Department.
I think then people in the Missouri General Assembly ought to do the same thing. We ought to starve the beast. Because there is absolutely no reason that they should not sign a consent decree. In fact, they ought to be chasing down Eric Holder, sleeping in his yard every night, hoping that they can sign the decree when he gets up for breakfast. I don't know what one could say that would allow anybody to believe that that they have any defense of what is in that report.
That's Congressman Cleaver from Kansas City. Jim, let me turn to Patricia Bynes here with regard to some of the things you've just said. In particular, Patricia, concerning removal, some of the officials in Ferguson that that Jim alluded to. Should that happen?
I think absolutely. It's a city manager-run form of government, and that is who ultimately even the police chief reports to. So even there are political influences. We have to be very real about who is responsible for what's going on and overseeing what's going on in the city. We have issues with the city and also in the municipal courts. We're not going to take the eye off of that prize either. Why is the judge in there violating people's constitutional rights? These are people who are involved in law enforcement and a judiciary branch who probably should never be involved in law enforcement or the judiciary anywhere ever in this country ever again.
Were you surprised, taken aback, whatever, over the fact that there was nothing more about Darren Wilson in there other than the fact that they're not going to deal with him, the police officer who shot Michael Brown?
Yeah. No, I was not surprised. I knew they were having a separate investigation about him, and it really has to do with the culture of how the city is running and using its police department and the laws that are being written and funneled through the municipal courts.
Bill?
So, Don, there's a separate lengthy report on their criminal investigation of the Darren Wilson shooting of Michael Brown. And what they, in a quick read of the summary, they're saying that the physical evidence and the witness accounts that can be believed either support Officer Wilson's version of events or they don't disprove his version. I'll read you two paragraphs that are sort of the key. Wilson and other witnesses stated Brown then reached into the SUV. This is at the beginning of the confrontation, through the open driver's window and punched and grabbed Wilson. This is corroborated by the bruising on Wilson's jaw, scratches on his neck, presence of Brown's DNA on Wilson's collar, shirt, and pants, and on Wilson's DNA on Brown's pants. While there were other individuals who stated that Wilson reached out of the SUV and grabbed Brown by the neck, prosecutors could not credit their accounts because they were inconsistent with physical and forensic evidence. And then, so after the confrontation at the car, Brown runs 180 feet, according to this report. Wilson in pursuit and shooting in three different bursts. Brown then turns around and returns towards Wilson, they say 21 feet. And then there's this whole question of what was he surrendering? How was this occurring? And here's the Justice Department one paragraph summary of that. While credible witnesses gave various accounts of exactly what Brown was doing with his hands as he was moving towards Wilson, balling them, holding them out, or pulling his pants up, and varying accounts of how he was moving, charging, moving in a slow motion, or running, they all established Brown was moving toward Wilson when Wilson shot him, although some witnesses state that Brown held his hands up at shoulder level with his palms facing outward for a brief moment. These same accounts describe Brown then dropping his hands and charging at Wilson. So it seems as though the Justice Department investigation was not able to come up with enough evidence to meet the very high bar of standard required for a criminal prosecution under federal civil rights laws.
Patricia, your thoughts?
I think that we need to take a look at when people say when we're talking about the system, that it's not just the police department, We actually need to take a look at the justice system, our courts, our prosecutors, the laws, in looking at how these types of things are evaluated. And I do agree with the Attorney General's remarks on that the standard is so high in many of these cases that we need to have a much more reasonable bar by which we can have a conversation about the law and being able to look at cases like this.
Do you think the Justice Department went far enough in this report? Again, we have to emphasize, it was leaked yesterday. We have most of the details, but the report was only formally released a few minutes ago.
Right. When it comes to the criminal investigation about Darren Wilson, like I said, I think based on what they have, what they're able to say underneath the current law, it could have gone further, but everything has to be underneath the law.
As far as the rest of the reports?
Oh, I'm very glad that they did include the municipal court system in being able to understand how things work in the St. Louis region with the police departments and the courts and the laws that are written.
Bill, what's your take on that and the job the Justice Department did and the basis of what we know?
Well, it appears to be it was a very thorough criminal investigation. I mean, I think they say at the beginning of the report that they canvassed 300 residences in the area. They talked to dozens of eyewitnesses more than one time. They worked, as we know from Bob McCullough's talk the other day at St. Louis University, there was unusually close cooperation between the St. Louis County Police and the FBI and federal investigators in this investigation, so that a typical witness would be interviewed by both county police and by FBI. So there was a very thorough investigation. There, of course, were three different autopsies. So I think the one thing that doesn't exist, sort of surprisingly in this day, is no one's turned up any video. Hence the difficulty in figuring out what really happened during those last seconds when Brown was moving back towards Wilson and the deadly shots were fired.
In this day and age, it's almost hard to believe there's no video. Jim, do you have anything you would add to any of that with regard to the investigation?
No, I think we've covered it pretty well for everything that we know. I'm just going to go back and start reading.
Okay, well, excuse you then. Go ahead and do that. I know you have 105 pages or so to digest there. Thank you, Jim, so much for being with us. Patricia, I'll turn back to you with regard to anger in the streets. There was plenty of evidence of that after the Michael Brown shooting and for a good many weeks and even months afterwards. Do you think that this report will cause any of that to dissipate or make people appease people at all?
Well, no. Right now, it's just the reality that some people are finally coming to understand after many people have been living like this for decades. So it does not change the anger. Now it's about we have this information and we are refusing to ignore it or to explain it or dispute it. This needs to get fixed. And I know that many people in the community and in the region and probably around the world are waiting to hear from the officials of the city of Ferguson.
And again, we're anticipating that they, now that the report has been released, we'll hear from them later today.
Correct.
Hopefully. Bill, what's next? As you see it, what's next?
Well, what's next is whether or not Ferguson agrees to a consent decree. I don't know that we will. I mean, I guess we could find out today. I don't think we could have the actual shape of the consent decree and laid out by the end of the day. But I think we might get an idea from Ferguson officials later today whether or not they're going to try to work out a consent, work with the Justice Department lawyers to come to a consent decree, or whether they're going to fight it.
There should be a lot of pressure on them, I would think, to
make
a move in the direction the Justice Department is recommending.
Right. There'll be substantial costs either way, but fighting the Justice Department, particularly when there seems to be such voluminous evidence, fighting the Justice Department could well be a losing battle. I mean, one legal point they could try to raise is, well, the whole pattern or practice authorization by Congress, you know, which was passed in the wake of the Rodney King riots more than 20 years ago, that whole pattern of practice thing just really applies to law enforcement officials. So how do you shoehorn in municipal court officials? But I think the Justice Department has a good answer to that. As a matter of fact, it's right at the very top of the report where they say that city officials have sent multiple memos to the police chief and to police officials saying – urging them to do more and more to raise revenue for the city, to use police practices to generate more revenue for the city. So it seems to me that's a really good link from the police practices to the municipal court practices that would hold up in court.
Did you want to add, Patricia?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I agree. They are not separate issues. They go hand in hand. And one is driving the need for racial profiling that already does exist and exacerbates the problem. So you cannot take care of one without taking care of the other.
Well, let's wait and see what the officials have to say. And hopefully we'll hear from them soon. And hopefully we'll have some representation from city government on this program tomorrow in which they can respond directly to what they've heard today. Patricia Bynes and Bill Freivogel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Now back to your reading, Bill. You've been, you've been getting as digesting as much as you can of those 105 pages as we've been speaking. But thank you both so much for being with us. And when we come back, would you sign up for a one-way trip to Mars? What do you think about that? Well, we'll meet a lady who has done just that, and that's next on St. Louis Radio in just a moment.